Our next question is coming from Chuck Johnson of USA Today. Excuse me.
Excuse me. Hello, Ricky. How you doing?
I'm great, thanks.
With both of you guys being unbeaten, you and Mayweather, I just want to know, in terms of how you view your record, how important is that O to you, being unbeaten, to your self-esteem and how you feel about yourself as a fighter?
Well, yeah, I mean, anyone, you know, I mean, a defeat doesn't finish your career. I think fighters through history have shown that. But, I mean, it is nice to have that unbeaten one. You know, it's, you know, for your marquee value. Obviously, financially, being unbeaten, especially when you've got a long unbeaten run like me and Floyd, you know, so it is important. It's not the be-all and end-all. I mean, fighters have got beat and come back to be better fighters, you know, so it isn't the be-all and end-all, but, yeah, it is important. If you're a fighter and a fighter in your heart, it's pride, you know, so it's always nice to enter the ring, you know, knowing that you've never tasted defeat. So, yeah, it is important.
Thank you. Our next question is coming from Gareth Davies of the Daily Telegraph.
Hi, Ricky. How are you doing?
I'm all right, mate.
Ricky, at the beginning of this conference call, Oscar De La Hoya said a lot of people are going to be surprised because they're going to lose a lot of money at the fight, probably referring to the fact that he's backing you to win. How do you feel about him backing you to win? And has he given you any technical advice? Because he's obviously been in with Mayweather before.
Yeah, we've had, you know, chats along the way of, you know, styles and what might work and what might not work. Obviously, Oscar sometimes leaves us to our own devices because, I mean, what me and Billy Grain have done from day one, I mean, it's got me to this point. It's won me 43 fights unbeaten and all them world titles, you know. So I think Oscar realises that he knows what we're doing. But obviously, you know, little bits of advice and little bit, especially with Oscar sharing the ring and being the fighter and the person he is, you know, you take great courage from someone who you look up to give you advice. But yeah, I think the balance has been great. We've had advice from Oscar. The sparring partners have been good. Me and Billy, you know, we've got here all these years, you know, so we have been doing something right, you know. So no, it's. It just couldn't be going better, but it does make you feel good when someone like Oscar, who certainly knows boxing, you know, believes you can do it. And I think a lot of people in Vegas are going to lose money because I think everybody's picked Floyd to win me, and everyone's expecting him to win me. And I think you've got very few people that are picking me to beat him, which really suits me fine. In fact, I wouldn't give two shits if everybody picked Floyd Mayweather, because I know how sweet that's going to be when when I do it. And the last time nobody gave me a chance was against Costa Zoo, and we made him quit. And I think I'm going to make Floyd quit.
Thank you. Our next question is coming from Ron Lewis of The Times.
Hey, Ricky.
Hey, Ron.
Firstly, can you tell us how you and what you're still doing training-wise now you're in Vegas? And last week, Kerry told us that he'd, as he put it, upped your nutrition for the fourth time. Is he actually letting you eat anything you actually want to eat yet?
No, I mean, it'd be foolish to eat anything you want to eat. I mean, you can eat as much as you want to eat, but obviously the key is it's got to be good food. There's no point in... if your weight's all right and that, you're going out eating barbecue spare ribs and chips, I mean, that's not going to do you any good. But, I mean, my weight is is well on target. I'm on the weight now, so I can increase my diet. The diet's got better as the weeks go by. I mean, as the training intensifies, the diet's got better. So I'm bearing in mind, for this fight, I'll be in as good a shape. I'll probably have more energy because I won't have to deplete my body down to the 10 stone, to the 140-pound mark. I've got to just get down to 147. So, everything's going perfect.
Thank you. Our next question is coming from Michael Katz of Miami Herald.
Hi, Ricky. How you doing?
Hi, Michael.
Hey, going back to Costa Zoo, another fight where nobody really gave you much of a chance to win. Do you have that same kind of feeling coming into this fight as you did going into that fight?
Very much so, very much so. I mean, nobody gave me a fair against Costa Zoo, and I think Floyd would like to think that with this being the biggest stage I will have boxed on, you know, I think he'd like to think that the pressure would get to me. Well, I think I've always boxed in front, although it is the biggest stage I've boxed on, bearing in mind I'm fighting for pound title, but, you know, before I was world champion, I was boxing in front of bigger crowds than I'm going to box on December the 8th, you know, so I think I've always been had the right preparation, I've been groomed for this level. I think that with the Costa Rica fight, nobody give me a prayer. You know, with me pressure when I put people on you, you know, put pressure and a march forward, everybody expected me to walk onto one of them right hands of Costa Rica, and that would have been it. But my determination, my stamina, my chin, everything, you know, I was oblivious to tiredness and I was oblivious to pain that night because of the man I was facing. And I knew if I left him alone for just half a second, he'd have probably lined me up and nailed me with that big right hand. So with Floyd Mayweather, it's a different, you know, a totally different style. But I think to beat Ricky Hatton, I think maybe you need that firepower to stop me coming. I mean, if you don't hurt me, I'll keep coming all night. And although Floyd has different attributes and different talents to Costa Rica, I mean, you know, probably Floyd has the speed and the defence and the boxing ability over the Costa Rica, but Costa Rica, you know, had the strength inside, had the physical strength, had that dynamite right hand, you know. So what I'm trying to say is I think you need power. I've been more worried facing power than speed in many ways, because I think you've got to stop me coming at you. I mean, that's one thing you've got to do. You've got to stop Ricky Hatton coming at you, because I'll keep coming all night unless you hurt me. And has Floyd got the power to hurt me? I have no doubt at times in the fight he might leave me a bit of a merry dance and pick me off with his speed and his wonderful boxing ability, but can he do it for 12 rounds? Has he got the power to stop me coming? I mean, Costa Rica couldn't do it with that big murderous right hand. I think it will be difficult for Floyd, but obviously Floyd has other strengths, his speed, his defence, his, you know, his boxing ability. So it's different problems to the Costa Rica fight. But ultimately, has he got the firepower to deal with my educated pressure? And that's the key, educated pressure. Yeah.
Thank you. Our next question is coming from David David Isaacson of the Sunday Times.
Hi, Ricky. I read some time ago that you met Floyd at a boxing fight, and when you approached him, he was quite rude to you. Would you mind taking us through that and just saying whether that's going to play a factor at all in terms of your mindset going into this fight?
I don't think it'll affect my mindset going into the fight. It was when Bernard Hopkins fought Jermaine Taylor, and it was blown up to be a little bit worse than what it actually was, to be honest with you. I mean, I think we were both sat on the same row, and he was sat a few seats further down, so he had to obviously walk past me, and I stood up and I went to shake his hand, and he wouldn't shake my hand, and he muttered something under his breath, I think it's something along the lines, you know, let's get it on, I'll knock you out, or something like that. So, I mean, he didn't want to shake my hand, you know, that's the top. I mean, there wasn't no incident, pushing and shoving or arguments, it wasn't merely a scene, but out of respect, I just, "Hi Floyd, how you doing?" went to shake his hand, and he just dismissed me, you know, as if "I'll shake your hand when I beat you" type attitude. But I have to be honest, I didn't lose a wink of fucking sleep over it, you know. So I mean, that's that's Floyd, really. I mean, and it's sort of like you get to a stage where you know that's the norm, and you shouldn't lose any sleep and get worked up about it. But no, that won't affect me before the fight. I think it's not just how Floyd has acted in this fight, it's how he acts in all his fights, you know, so I don't take anything personal. I think that's just Floyd.
Thank you. Our next question is coming from David Anderson of the Daily Mirror.
Hello, Ricky, you okay?
I'm great, mate.
Hey, Ricky, I was just curious to see how you're getting on in that house. It sounded like some sort of student house with you, Matthew Macklin, and Martin holed up watching Porky's videos. I hope you're all behaving yourselves.
The last thing, I think, last category we'd come under is students, I think, but no, I mean, it's just a busy house, you know. We've got, you know, there's me, Matthew, my brother, Matthew Macklin, Lee Beard, who's one of the coaches at the gym. We've got a couple of security guards that keep an eye on the house when we're out, you know. So, and, you know, people are coming in and out of the house, Paul Speak, Left Fighting Centre, you know. So, I'm not one of these fighters that likes to shut himself away from everything. I like my life to... I don't want people to act different around me. I don't want my life to change as much, although, you know, it is, you know, we're missing your homely surroundings and your home comforts like back home, but you try and get on as much as normal as possible, don't you? And that's what we're doing, really, Dave.
Thank you. Our next question is coming from Diego Martinez of Reform Newspaper.
Hi, Ricky. You're here from Reform Newspaper of Mexico. Ricky, when you watch videos, what mistakes you have found in Floyd Mayweather's style?
What mistake? Well, he has a lot in his armour. He's very, very good at what he does. He's got a wonderful defence, and he likes to take the steam out of his opponents by making them miss. There's nothing more tiring than when you're missing your opponent. But yeah, I mean, he has a lot of strengths, but I mean, I think the weaknesses he has is he waits for his opponent, and he shouldn't be waiting too long, because for someone who's constant and on it all the time, as me, I'm, I mean, who doesn't really tire and get stronger as the fight progresses, he doesn't want to wait around too much. But no, he's got fantastic hand speed. I mean, but I think my style's got all the attributes to. You know, to diffuse what he does. I mean, speed's a good thing, but I move in very, very quickly on my opponents. I stick to them like glue for, you know, for long periods. You know, I have a constant body attack, you know. And generally, he's struggled against people that put the pressure on him. Castillo, the first fight against De La Hoya. And really, I wouldn't even call that pressure, to be honest with you. I mean, if that's what pressure is, and he tends to not like pressure, then I think he's got a whole lot of trouble coming his way.
Thank you. Our next question is coming from Steve Karp of Las Vegas Review.
Good morning, Ricky.
Good morning.
When Manny Pacquiao fought here in October, he talked about the tremendous burden that comes with being a national hero. And I'm wondering, for you back in the UK, with all the people that are coming over here to support you, as well as back at home, how do you deal with the pressure that comes and the responsibility that comes with being a national hero?
I deal with it quite well, really. I mean, it all depends on your frame of mind. I, for me, it's just another fight. I'd like to think that there'd have been more nerves at this stage, but I mean, I think as the fight gets nearer and doubt starts creeping into your mind, you know, you know the pressure does tend to come on you. But I mean, doubt hasn't come into my mind yet. This isn't a fight where there's the slightest bit of doubt in my mind that I'm going to lose, you know. So obviously, in knowing that you're fighting an opponent that you believe you can beat, you know, the pressure doesn't come on you as much as what you maybe if you was going in there expecting to lose, you know. So. But no, I mean, I have a fantastic following. It spurs me on. It makes me feel proud. I get a huge buzz of when fight fans turn around and say that, you know, we love how much they love me and that I'm the people's champion, you know, and they respect me because with all the success that I've had, I haven't changed one little bit. My feet are still firmly on the ground, and I look at myself as no different to the man in the crowd, you know. So that spurs me. That spurs me on, I think. It doesn't make me where the pressure should get on you. It doesn't get on me. The only pressure I have on myself is to myself. Needless to say, I want my fans to do my fans and country proud, but I try and use it to my advantage as a disadvantage. And it's all down to the mentality of the person or to yourself, you know, really. I mean, my mentality is it doesn't affect me. I just look forward to doing them proud rather than... I don't look forward to, you know, the burden of letting them down. I look forward to how proud I'm going to do when I do win.
Thank you. Our next question is coming from John Dill of the Daily Express London.
Good evening, Ricky. How are you?
I'm great, thanks.
Good. I wonder, could I turn it over to Mr. De La Hoya and ask a question there and... ask me his assessment of the two fighters' styles and his assessment of the contest.
Yes, I'm here.
Yeah, I wonder, could you just give us your assessment of them? I mean, both fighters with two very contrasting styles. Just tell us what you think, really.
Well, I mean, my thinking is I've been in there with Floyd Mayweather, and you know, we fought at 154 pounds. Even though he was lighter, probably weighing around 150, 151. Obviously, the power is different. Where Floyd really doesn't rely on power. He relies more on his speed. And from what I've seen with Hatton, you know, he relies on both, you know, because he has both. He has speed and power. You know, and I think the difference with any fighter that Hatton has faced is that Hatton brings intelligent pressure. You know, and I think that's the key word there. He not only comes forward and puts pressure on you more than I did, and even more than Castillo did, but he does it in a very intelligent way. And so I think that's going to play a big part in this fight. And, you know, it's going to be a tremendous fight. You know, you're going to have both of the best fighters in that ring that night. And, you know, it's all about who's going to be in the better shape and who's going to want it more. And, you know, it's going to be a great fight.
Thank you. Our next question is coming from Mark Staniford of Press Association.
Hi, Ricky. How are you doing?
Great, thanks.
There's quite a few obvious comparisons from a British point of view between this fight and Lloyd Hunnigan's win over Donald Curry all that time ago. I just wondered if you'd seen tapes of that fight and whether there was anything you can take from it, and, you know, if you appreciate those certain similarities.
Yeah, it was similar. I think most people would have had Don Curry, the best pound-for-pound fighter in the world at the time. And I think what Floyd's best attribute when he came into the ring was his fearless approach. You know, he got into the ring and, you know, it was like, Floyd probably looked at Don Curry, I don't care who you beat or who you've won or how many titles you've won or how many weight divisions. Or, you know, he didn't look at the stats, he just looked at the man. And, you know, he went out there with that, jumped right on him straight away. Let the punches go, combinations, I mean, real, put the pressure on him, controlled pressure, and totally threw him out of his stride and beat him up in the end, you know. So, you know, it's stuff like that, you know. I mean, nobody gave Lloyd Hunnigan a chance. Nobody gave me a chance against Costuzu, you know. And some, you know, Roberto Duran against Sugar Ray Leonard, the first fight, nobody gave Duran, you know, a chance, really. I mean, sometimes the fellow with the most talent doesn't always win. It's about having the tactics right, who wants it most, who's in the best shape, you know, who gets off to the better start. And there's lots of things in the, you know, in the equation that sometimes result. And if boxing has told us one thing, you know, look how many upsets there's been through boxing history, really, you know. And so, you know, not anybody who says that this fight is beyond me. I mean, I think I've got the style, you know, to give Floyd Mayweather absolutely nightmares. I mean, when you think the fights he's come closest to losing was obviously against Oscar last, Oscar put the pressure on him, and Castillo the first fight. Castillo, you know, in a lot of people's eyes, won the first fight. And see, a lot of people would turn around and say, well, when, you know, Ricky put on a better performance against Castillo than Floyd did, but then you'll also have some that will say, well, Castillo has seen better days. But if I can make a statement now without sounding too disrespectful to my old friend Jose Luis Castillo, even Castillo in the first fight against Mayweather, when he was seen to be in his pride, if you narrow it down and say, was his footwork as good? Was Castillo's footwork as good and as quick as Ricky Hatton's is? You know, was his body punch? Is his body punching as good as Ricky Hatton's? Does he move in on his opponent as quick as Ricky Hatton does? Is he as big a hitter as Ricky Hatton has? Does he have as much boxing ability as Ricky Hatton does? Does he have the better work rate than Ricky Hatton? I would have to say no to all of them. And as you know, he nearly did it. You know, so I take huge confidence out of that, you know. So I know what I'm up against. I know what his strengths are. I know what his weaknesses are. And I know what I think he tries to do in the fight. I think I've got the the tools to the job, and that wasn't meant to be a disrespect to Jose Luis Castillo. I mean, but I think in every department, from footwork to strength, to speed, to boxing ability, to power, to work rate, I think even in his prime, I think I edge it in every department. And when you think Castillo nearly beat Floyd, you know, that's the way I see the fight going.
Thank you. Our next question is coming from Raul Sainz of Notify.
Hello, Ricky.
Hello.
Ricky, in the last teleconference with Floyd, he says that he mentioned that he's not fighting the best British boxer right now. For him, the best British boxer is Jokal Zaghi. But knowing that Jokal Zaghi never has fought out of Europe, what are your opinion about that?
Well, people will make their own minds up how good they actually think I am, or how good they think I am in the standings of British champions, you know, past and present. I mean, it's up to people to make their own mind up. I mean, I let them make it up. I'm not going to go out and say I think I'm the best, I think this, I think I'm that. But you know, little comments like that, you know, makes me, you know, it fills me with confidence for the fight, really, because he's not as clever as what he thinks. One minute he's saying he's the best pound for pound. He's saying he's the best pound for pound fighter in the world, and in fighting me, he's not fighting the best fighter in Britain. What a dickhead he's going to look when he gets beat.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is coming from Eddie Goldman of Seconds Out Radio.
Thank you. Hi, Ricky. Sorry I had to join the call a little late, and I hope this hasn't been asked, but I don't know if you've gotten a chance to see the full HBO 24/7 series that they're showing in the States here. On the second episode, they seem to hint that maybe Floyd is having some problems with his hands. They showed him getting physical therapy a couple of times a week, and at the same time they showed you doing all the leg presses and messing up Billy Graham's finger during the training. Do you think there's anything to that, and that may be a factor in the fight?
Well, I mean, Floyd has always had problems with his hands. I mean, that's pretty common knowledge. I mean, he's had it for all his fights, apparently. We never saw that on the last 24/7 fight, the last 24/7 build-up with Oscar and Floyd. So, I don't know. I mean, he might be having trouble with his hands. I mean, I don't know. And to be honest, I can only worry about how my preparation's going. I mean, I'm not bothered about Floyd. If Ricky Hatton's preparation's okay, that's all I'm bothered about. But I think, as I said earlier, to when I'm answering the questions to one of the guys, I mean, I'm not going to turn around and call Floyd a liar. I mean, it's common sense. It's common knowledge. Everybody knows he has problems with his hands. But, you know, I don't think it will happen. But if Floyd Mayweather was to beat me on the night and it was a fair result, I would hold my hands up and say, well, you know, I got beat by the better man. But I think, you know, if I beat Floyd Mayweather on the night and it was a fair result, I hope Floyd doesn't bring out the old hurt me hand gag, you know, because, I mean, we're the best pound-for-pound fight. I mean, that's, you know, if you wanted to be, you know, a cynic, you know, you could probably say, well, if you've got an injury, you want to hide the fact, so why is he telling everyone? You know, so if I beat Floyd Mayweather on the night, you know, and it's a fair result, I would like to think Floyd would be man enough and turn around and say, well, I got beat by the best man on the night. The best man won. And I would hate to think that he would turn around and say, well, I got beat because I went in the dancing competition, or I got beat because of my hands. You know, that's just the way I see it.
Hey, operator, we have time for one more question, then we'll let Mr. Hatton go train. So we'll have one more closing question from the media.
Thank you. Our final question is coming from Francis Walker of BlackAthlete.com.
Wow. Once again, I have the final question. real quick. Ricky, Mayweather talks a lot of trash, and he's talked down to you on a number of different occasions. Do you think it's an attempt for Mayweather to try to get into your head, or is it just all for show?
I don't know. I'm not really bothered. I think you need to know me personally before you to realise that whatever he's doing, I mean, it's not getting under my skin. I mean, he's tried to insult me by calling me Ricky Fatten. I mean, doesn't he realise I've named myself Ricky Fatten in the first place? I mean, I think everything he's tried to do, I think he's an insecure person. I think that's why he surrounds himself with five or six bodyguards, you know, and they all seem to be yes men, you know, he always needs people whispering in his ear, you're the man, you're number one, you're going to do this, you're going to do that, and that's all a sign of insecurity. And, you know, and it's just, you know, I think, you know, you don't need anybody whispering in your ears, you know, to tell them the best, if you believe that. If you believe you're the best, then you don't need anybody reminding you or reassuring you, and that's the way I feel. But, no, I think he's an insecure person, and I think he does like to play mind games, and I don't think he does it to try and intimidate you, because he needs to look in the mirror. He's not exactly what you call intimidate looking with his nice suits on and his bling. He doesn't exactly make me want to run down the street away. But I think what he tries to do is get under your skin and annoy you. You know, more annoy you rather than scare you. And, you know, he must surely know when he sees me and he looks in my eyes, he knows that I'm not scared of him, and he knows that I believe I can win, and he knows I have no fear with him. So I think, you know, especially when we did the promotional tour, I think when he realised what little reaction he got from me, I think that would have affected him more than me. I mean, but, you know, it's like water, as I was saying with everything, it's like water off a duck's back to me. he really does not bother what he says, what insults he throws at me, really could not care less. From the bottom of my heart, couldn't care less.
Okay, great. That concludes our comms call. Ricky, please, we really, really thank you for taking the time out of your schedule as the fight gets closer. And again, and just one more programming note, on Thursday, November 29th, at 4 o'clock Eastern, 1 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock British time, we will have Floyd Mayweather joining us on a conference call. So we're all looking forward to seeing everybody out at the fight next
don't
week.
Mind
and again,
if I don't
Mr.
join that one, do you?
Pardon me?
You mind if I don't join that one?
Oh, I don't know. Can you come on? We'll give you the inside
I'll
number.
Give it a miss, I think.
We'll give you the inside number. Again, thanks everybody for joining us. Ricky, thank you. Thanks,
yeah.
Paul Speak, for helping us arrange it. And we look forward to seeing you soon.